everybody, and welcome to this week's edition of the Pitching In NPL show. Got quite a packed show this week. Later, we're going to be joined by Coastal County Sports presenter Andrew Snaith for a fixture preview for this weekend's fixtures. Speaking of this weekend's fixtures, we've got a pretty big game in the FA Trophy. The fourth round takes place on Saturday, and Morpeth Town, our very own Morpeth Town, we'll be taking on Boston United, and we'll be joined by Craig Lynch later in the show as well. We're also going to be talking about the league and some big results from the past 7 days or so in the NPL Premier Division. Ant Taylor, Scarborough Athletics commentator, will be joining us to discuss one particular result from midweek. We're also going to be joined as well by the managers at Matlock Town, Bamber Bridge and Lancaster City. But to kick the show off and to help us have a look at the results from last weekend now, in audio form, it's James Hayes, the Northern Premier League social media officer. Hello, James. How are you?
Afternoon. Evening, but how are you doing?
I'm all good. Let's kick the show off good and proper now and talk about the results from last weekend. Ooh, where should we start? Let's start with the league leaders. That's Matlock Town. Matlock didn't play on Saturday, but Matlock Town did certainly play on Tuesday. And what a game this was at Ewan Fields. Hyde United 2, Matlock Town 3, Bradley Roscoe scoring with 15 minutes after that game to make it very, very nervy towards the end. But Matlock Town there getting the 3 points and remaining at the top of the table, James, as we head into this weekend.
Yeah, and what a fantastic strike that was. But yeah, Matlock Town again capitalising on the fact of other results for, I think, the third week in a row now. They're quite comfortable there at this moment if you look at stuff like points per game, and if these aren't our title contenders with what's going on at the moment.
Well, next up for Matlock Town will be Witton Albion this weekend. And great news from Witton Albion last week. They returned to action and picked up a very good point at home to Gainsborough Trinity. Gainsborough Trinity taking the lead on 20 minutes. And then Callum Saunders scoring an equaliser just before the hour mark. So Witton Albion picking up a point there ahead of this weekend's match against Matlock Town. And we've got a fixture preview of Andrew Snaith later. But let's judge the mood now at Causeway Lane. And let's say now from the manager at Matlock Town, it's a big welcome back to the show to Paul Phillips. Well, Paul, a big thank you for joining us and a big Happy New Year to you. And sitting top of the pile and a bit of an epic game on Tuesday night at Hyde United. But you got the 3 points. How was it?
It was a tough game. Obviously, they're fighting for their life. They've got a good manager in Jim Gannon, some good players. I don't think it helped. Obviously, the long layoff since the 27 was not playing was a bit rusty and a bit needed the game, to say the least, just to get ourselves back where we wanted to be. One or two mistakes we made leading to their goals, that's not normal for us. But like I say, I put that down to the 16, 17 day layoff that we had from Christmas and into January, to be fair.
And how difficult is that? Because you're by no means alone. There's a few managers who've suffered this stop-start nature. It's been a bit annoying, I'd imagine, for you as well, because we had that FA Trophy match back just before Christmas where you're very, very unlucky against York City, but you followed that up, what's that, 9 days later? But another big game, but an important win over Buxton, but then you've just not been able to get any form of momentum going, have you?
No, it was bad, that, to be fair. It's obviously, after such a good win against a good team in Buxton, we wanted to bounce on and obviously play New Year's Day against Gainsborough. Unfortunately, the COVID stuff sort of took over with Gainsborough, so you've got to look at them and wish them all the best and glad they're back playing. But it's just, no, it's not ideal. Obviously, it's not ideal. You can only train so much and the game time. Obviously, the lucky thing that obviously your types of Buxton, your Hydes, your Basefords and Scarboroughs they've got is that they've got the all-weather pitch, so you can get someone down when they're not playing and get teams to give them a 90-minute run out. It's a bit harder for ourselves when games are getting called off last minute and getting called off the day before to try and arrange things like that. But listen, we won the game. We'll be better for it now going into the game Saturday. As he said, we're top of the pile, but I still think there's one or two things that we need to improve on, and I think we will do that with games coming thick and fast.
Yeah, when you think about that, you know, that Buxton win and then the long layoff and then the Hyde United win, you'd be forgiven just to have dropped down the table slightly, maybe sitting third or fourth at this stage with teams, you know, having played and got 3 points in that. But to be top of the pile after that break with games in hand, as you've got, as we head into, you know, mid-January, that's brilliant, isn't it, really?
Yeah, it's obviously it's a big surprise to me looking at any team. He always said that we had a little bit of a blip at the start of the season. I think Buxton having a little blip. South Shields, obviously, have not played as many games as I think they're on the same games as us. Obviously, Bamber have played a couple of games with us. And we are stopped at the top of the pile, but as I've said all along, and I might sound boring, a broken record, but we've just got to concentrate on doing our job and get as many points on the board as we can at the right times. And like I say, the biggest thing for me going into the Hyde game is making sure that we secured them 3 points, which we did do.
So that then takes us to another busy week. Witten Albion, firstly, on Saturday. They got back to action last week. Great 1-1 draw with Gainsborough Trinity. They're fighting for their lives. So this is going to be a tough game, that's for sure.
Yeah, Cal, good manager. He's got some good players. I think they're in a false position. I think they've had a bit of a issue with the COVID as well. So obviously they've got a few games to make up. And they're probably still smarting from the way the result went at our place. And they'd be looking to put a few wrongs right, to be perfectly honest. So they won't be taking anything lightly. I don't think there's going to be any, looking at, I was speaking to a few managers yesterday, and I don't think there's going to be any easy games now, whether you're fighting for your life, whether you're near the top. A few years gone by, you'd probably one or two give me games, but realistically, it shows the quality of this league at the moment in time that I can't really see. Even if you look at Grantham, who are near the bottom, they just signed Elliot Durrell, they've got Ricky Miller up front. It shows you what kind of quality players at this level, and you've got to be on your mettle at every game to make sure that you win.
And that then takes me to my next point. And we started off talking about, you know, the stop-start nature of the last few weeks or so, but, you know, it's a busy week, isn't it? Because you've got Scarborough on Tuesday, Bamber Bridge on Saturday, next Saturday. It's This is what it's all about, isn't it? I mean, you can't read too much into it because, you know, we're only in January, but this is an important week, I'm going to suggest.
Yes, yeah, a few weeks. Obviously, we've got three games next week, starting with Witten and then Scarborough and then Bamber, as you say. And then we've got South Shields coming up. I think we've got a game Saturday, Tuesday, which I'll be perfectly honest, I prefer that, as long as you don't start picking up a load of injuries to try and get the continuity and try to get up to that 75% of the games played so we can have an outcome at the end of the season. I think the longer this COVID lingers on about, there's always going to be that doubt in people's mind. But I think the quicker we can get these games played and the closer we can get to finishing the season, it'd be better. Listen, I am going to say that I'm top of the league. Other people, when I first come in, said, obviously, you're bottom of the league, you want the season curtailed. But I hope that's not the case for every level of football. But it's a massive few weeks for the lads. And obviously, we started well on Tuesday and hopefully we can carry it on into Saturday and next Tuesday.
Well, Paul Phillips, manager of the current league leaders, Matlock Town, a big, big thank you for taking the time out your Thursday to come on the show. Really, really appreciate it. And all the best for the rest of January. And we'll catch you very soon.
Same to you.
Paul Phillips, manager of Matlock Town, joining us here on the Pitching In NPL show. 2 points back off Matlock Town at the moment, having played two games more, but you'd rather have points on the board, the games in hand and all that. Bamber Bridge didn't play on Saturday, a bit like Matlock Town, but they certainly played on Tuesday, and they too picked up a 3-2 victory, this time at Radcliffe. And Jake Thompson scoring the winner in the last minute of that game there up at Stainton Park. James, I'm assuming you were at this game too. What's your thoughts on this one? That feels like a pretty important victory, that one, for Bamber Bridge, and just sees them bounce back after the Warrington results a couple of weeks back.
It did indeed, but they were made to work for it pretty much, for not just for the fact that the last 10 minutes of the game, the fog was descending, and in fairness, both sides were looking to complete the game, realistically, in my opinion.
James, I saw the pictures, and someone who I know took a photograph during the game. He took about four more pictures of just the fog rolling in.
Exactly. But yeah, Jake Thompson mentioned in the last minute, on the left-hand side, used the fog to his advantage a little bit, I feel, but a good 3 points, putting the pressure on Matlock Town, especially with where other sides are dropping points at the moment too.
Well, Bamber Bridge this weekend taking on FC United of Manchester. Let's hear from the team who are now sitting second in the league table. They leapfrogged over Buxton with that result on Tuesday night. It's a big welcome back to the show now to manager at Bamber Bridge. Here's Jamie Milligan. Well, Jamie, a big happy new year to you and welcome back to the show. Before we get to this weekend's big game, a congratulations, really, for that epic performance on Tuesday night. I mean, how was your evening in the fog in the end?
Do you know what? It was a good game. It could have gone either way, to be fair. In the first 10 minutes, it could have been 3-3. It was like a game of basketball. But They went 1-0 up, then we equalised a couple of minutes later, and then went 2-1 up, and then we had a blatant pen turned down to make it, that could have made it 3-1, do you know what I mean? And it makes the night a little bit easier. Ref doesn't give it, and then they come out second half with the tails up, equalise, and I just couldn't see us scoring. I tried to change a few things, but it just wasn't happening for us. And unfortunately, Jake, who we've just signed that day, pops up and scores the winner. But like I say, a draw was probably a fair result.
Now, we heard from Paul Phillips earlier from Matlock, and we were talking about just the stop-start nature of football for a fair number of teams, and that's been true of yourselves, really. I mean, that was your first match back since New Year's Day and the 4-1 defeat at Warrington. So to pull out a performance like that after such a long break, I mean, what was the mood in the dressing room like heading into that game? Was it about bouncing back and, you know, putting things right after that match at Cantilever Park?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of teams in the same boat. Like, there's lads off with viruses and injuries. We only had three subs against Warrington and we didn't really have any firepower on the bench to bring on. So we struggled a little bit. But I think Buxton are going through the same thing at the minute, and other clubs are going through it as well. But one thing about our lads, when we do get beat and have a bad result, they always pop up the next game with a good performance and a good result. But saying that, we've played better than that this season and lost. So it can go either way, really, Ben.
Now, let's have a little catch-up on where we are in the league table and that, because we're in mid-January now. We've caught up numerous times this season. I can remember one interview where you were at Blackpool Pleasure Beach. It's been that... how long ago was that?
Years ago, that.
So, you know, we're in middle of January now, and you're 2 points off top spot, still, you know, 7 points inside the playoffs. I mean... You're title contenders now. I know you've been trying to keep a lid on it, Jamie, but we're into the second half of the season and there's not too long left to go now.
Yeah, listen, like I said to you last time, if you'd have put us in there at the start of the season at this point of the season, I'd have snapped your hand off. And it's just a testament to how well the boys have done. And I know managers get the plaudits now and again, do you know what I mean? But I'm dead honest with you, it's all about the players, the way they train how they play. They graft every single game. They never let me down on the work rate side of things. Little mistakes here and that happens. Oh, it's gone at this level. But yeah, we're made up to be up there. I think we're second at the minute. And the teams behind us have got games in hand, but you've got to go and win them games in hand. And to have the points on the board at this level is absolutely made up for the players.
How do you keep a lid on it though, Jamie? Because you've played quite rightly, because, you know, you're in the playoffs of Buxton, South Shields, Warrington, who, you know, were in a lot of people's discussions for the title. How do you keep a lid on it and keep that underdog tag going? Because the longer this goes on, the more that wears off a bit, really.
Yeah, because the young lads are trying to take the pressure off them a bit, do you know what I mean? And we go into every game the same. We don't really change things too much, do you know what I mean? And listen, we've got to respect the opponents we're playing against, but we don't fear anyone. The young lads, and they don't fear anybody. They just go and play the game. And listen, we work hard on a lot of things in training. We have to, because obviously we haven't got the money other clubs have got. Because we've got to coach them even more than you probably normally would, because the type of players you've got in the young lads. So listen, we work hard in training on a lot of things, and it shows in the games. It just shows the way we can play. We've got a way of playing. If you watched us after the game finishes, you'd say, listen, that's how they play, and the lads enjoy it.
Let's talk about the next match, FC United this Saturday. The last time FC came to the Sir Tom Finney Stadium, your team played a blinder. But it's going to be a tough game this weekend because FC United, they see the playoffs over the hill. So what do you think?
Yeah, listen, they're a good team, do you know what I mean? They're a good club. They've hit a good patch. They've had some great results lately, do you know what I mean? So it's going to be a tough game. And listen, the way both teams play, if you're a neutral fan, I'd be watching that game, because it's going to be a good game.
And speaking of good games... The following week, one game at a time and all that, Jamie. I'm just preempting what you're going to say. But Matlock away next Saturday, blimey, that's a game, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. Listen, when they came to us, a strong, really strong team. They've got a good manager, and they know what they're doing. They know the structure, and they know what they're doing. They're a really good team and deserve to be where they are. But like I say, we'll go into it and won't change much, and we'll see how we get on. There's no pressure on us, do you know what I mean? So see how we get on Saturday, and then we'll take it into Matlock.
Well, Jamie Milligan, manager of Bamber Bridge, a big, big thank you for taking the time out of your busy day to come on the show. Really, really appreciate it. And all the best in the coming matches.
Cheers, Ben. Thanks a lot, mate.
Jamie Milligan there, manager of Bamber Bridge, joining us here on the Pitching In NPL show. So Bamber Bridge in second. That's because on Tuesday night, the team who were originally there, Buxton, were beaten by Scarborough Athletic, following up a 3-0 victory over Basford United, incidentally, from the Saturday. We're going to be joined by Ant Taylor in a second, but pretty handy 6 points this past week. See Scarborough in the playoff race now, 3 points from the playoffs.
Yeah, making most of the facts. Again, most of the top five didn't play on the Saturday as well. I mean, a great big 3 points there for Basford. We were saying this a couple of weeks ago, all it needed for them to do is get that form in, made a couple of changes in the squad, and they're back up there.
Buxton sitting in third position now, 4 points from top spot, having played a game more than Matlock. They do have a game in hand over Bamber Bridge, but South Shields, who, as we mentioned last week with Graham Fenton, didn't play this past week. So South Shields are 5 points off top spot. They do have a game in hand. They're a point behind Buxton. They've got two games in hand in Buxton. They're 3 points behind Bamber Bridge. They've got three games in hand on Bamber Bridge. So, but let's talk about Scarborough. Scarborough, 3 points from the playoffs now. They've played a game more than Warrington and Whitby, but they've certainly put themselves in the mix, that's for sure. And let's judge the mood now at the Flamingoland Stadium. And here's lead commentator Ant Taylor, who I caught up with on Thursday. Well, Ant, a big welcome back to the show and a big Happy New Year to you. And what a fantastic result that was on Tuesday night. Not only beating Buxton by 2-1, but now just 3 points from the playoffs. I mean, it's, what's your take on it, especially that performance on Tuesday?
Well, I've got to be honest, I'm still getting goosebumps from it. I don't know why. It was just, I was on my dinner today, bumped into a fellow fan. We just smiled at each other and we're like giddy kids. I don't know why, but there's still pictures just coming out. I think Kieran Glynn's retweeted one and all this, and it's just starting it all up again. So, yeah, it was a really good night of football. Goal from Bailey Good, who's been amazing since he's come back from injury. I think it was FC United where he got injured, and he was out for a couple of weeks. And since he's been back, he's been immense. Buxton come out with a brilliant equaliser. I've got to be honest, top draw goal in the top bin. And then second half came. We thought we were a bit flat at the end of the first half, you know. But with Saturday as well, just gone, having a really good result there. The same thing happened again. Bring them in the second half. Let have a little chat and all that Jono likes to do. And then they come out firing all guns blazing. And then the new lad from Scunthorpe, amazing goal. If you haven't seen it, get on Twitter and that. It's a really good, you know, like top, you know, something that you've probably seen in Europe kind of goal. From the throwing it deep in their half. It's just amazing the way they played it. And I think when it came back in the pitch, yeah, I think we all knew it was a goal anyway. It was just the way the team just got themselves together and we just saw out the win. So yeah, it was a really good night.
So one defeat in the past six, and that was against South Shields. But you've beaten Buxton. You're front Basford, as you said. You got a draw, a very credible draw against Morpeth, and you're beating Warrington and Bamber Bridge. And for those clubs who've been in mid-table land now for most of the season, they're going to look at Scarborough as like the poster boys of what's possible now, because you are just outside the playoffs. I mean, when we go back to, you know, before Christmas, could you have imagined being that close?
I've got to be honest. I'm a Scarborough fan, Old Town, but I'm also a Leeds fan. And I find out both these teams, if they have a really bad start, they have a good finish. Or if they have a really good start, they have a bad finish. So some of the results have been, you know, been quite disappointing and that. But I always knew after Christmas or during Christmas and that, you know, everyone comes home because obviously the big boost of, you know, attendances around non-league. At Scarborough, everyone comes home for the festive season. There was a bumper crowd for Boxing Day. You just felt like, you know, this could happen and, you know, something was building up to it. And I've been saying all the way through doing the commentary, the way Scarborough play on the deck is probably some of the best football that I've seen from any team. I ain't seen it, you know, they can outplay anyone. I think when we got beat by Whitby Town, there was a space in the game, and I think Whitby fans will probably admit it, there was like about 5-10 minutes where we were just dinking it around all over the place, and you're just thinking we might do this, and then we end up losing 3-0 or whatever it was. But they've just been building it up, and I think the Bamber Bridge game was the catalyst. I think none of us really wanted to go to it because we thought it was going to get cold off. It was a really rainy day, but it hadn't. Pitch looked really cut up at the end of it, but you know, it was great that we went there and we got the win. So And I think it's really, that's been the catalyst. And, you know, it's a bit disappointing with South Shields, but if you look at it, we had a shot cleared off the line. Kieran Glynn missed in the last minutes. We could have, if things were on our side, we could have scraped a win or at least a draw in that. But, you know, wasn't to be. But it was a really good battling team. And that's what they've been these past couple of weeks.
So what do you think's possible? I know we're in mid-January and there's a fair few twisted turns left of the season. But do you feel, you know, it was always going to be, I find your feet opening to the season for Jonathan Greening, but it feels like, looking in from afar, that he might have cracked it. So what do you think's possible for February and beyond?
Yeah, we've got tough games. And obviously, I was thinking with Buxton being a tough game. Obviously, we had the little bit of they didn't play Saturday. They had the game called off. They've been on a couple of, you know, tough defeats. And obviously, that bit of a run in the FA Cup. So I was thinking, you know, if we get at least a draw or something positive from that result, you know, follow it on from Saturday. Then we've got Matlock again. We've got, you know, Stalybridge midweek. They've got the new lad from South Shields in there as well. So and then we've got Whitby. We've got Whitby twice in February because we've got them in the local cup as well, the North Riding. So and then we've got Hyde just before that as well. So there's tough games. And I think every game is tough. And the way the league is at the moment, anyone's from probably just above us from sixth to the top. You know, if people, you know, going a bit of a losing streak and that, people can creep in. I think we'd be all right for playoffs. I think it'd be a good experience, maybe build on it for next season to try and make a bit more of a charge. But, you know, I've always said, and we were having there's a couple of fans at a rugby game, funny enough, were discussing this. We're happy where we are. You know, every club would like, you know, the ambitions to go up. And I don't find, like, you know, that I'm happy, you know, just being in this league. But if we got a bit of a cup run or something, and then, you know, if we beat Whitby twice a season and whatever in the cup and that, I'd be happy with that. But that's just me. Every Scarborough fan's different. Some of us want to be in Premier League. Some of them want us, you know, back where we were and stuff like that. But it's going to be a tough, long, you know, haul to do it. But at the moment, I'm just enjoying the football that we've got. Going down, you know, seeing your friends and that's where I'm at with it. But playoffs for us this season.
Well, next up is Stalybridge Celtic. And just a quick plug, Ant, for your commentaries on thisisthecoast.co.uk. What's happening this weekend?
Yeah, we've got Stalybridge away. It's lovely ground. I've only been once on a Tuesday night. And it just felt like an old school football. Just an amazing ground. To be there. So to go there on a Saturday, to feel the Saturday experience of it. Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. And hopefully, you know, we can get something from this. I know Stalybridge will want to try and get some points as well. So they've got the new lad from South Shields on loan for the remainder of the season. So hopefully he's still probably finding his feet come Saturday. And then we might just try and nick some of it. But last time we were there, we had a really good match. So hopefully, and get a bit of an atmosphere on there and probably try and hopefully get some positive points.
And we should say as well, commentary on Tuesday night as well for Causeway Lane for the game against Matlock. There might be a lot of neutral people who would be interested in that game. So, like we said, thisisthecoast.co.uk for all Scarborough commentaries, including Stalybridge this weekend and Matlock on Tuesday. But Ant Taylor, big happy new year to you, my friend.
Yeah, and you as well.
And keep up that at work and catch up very soon. Ant Taylor there, joining us here on the Pitching In NPL show. So, big week just gone for Scarborough. Five goals scored, only one conceded, and they played Buxton and Basford. Not bad at all from Scarborough. So South Shields didn't play at the weekend. Warrington also didn't play last week, so they stay in fifth. Whitby Town, they did play on Saturday, and they were beaten by Lancaster City by 3-0. A fantastic result, that one, for Lancaster. Sees them move within the same number of points now as Stafford Rangers and a point behind FC United. So a good result, that one, for Lancaster, not so much for Whitby, James.
Yeah, I mean, I think Paul Connolly wrote so well. Whitby Town just didn't come into the races. I mean, this is something Lancaster needed just to get back into consideration, because then they just had a little bit of a drop during the Christmas period. Whitby Town, they've got the capability to come back into it.
Well, a good result, that one, for Lancaster. And it sees them 8 points from the playoffs. Let's just the mood now at the Giant Axe as we head into this weekend. And it's a big welcome back to the show to Mark Fell. Well, Mark, a big happy new year to you. And what result that was at Whitby. You had a right palaver, I believe, trying to get there. And then to put in a performance like that, you must be over the moon.
Yeah, happy new year, Ben. Yeah, it was just getting there. We literally got 10 miles down the road and stopped still for over an hour. So there was obviously a couple of crashes on the M6, which it was, the weather conditions were horrendous. I know a lot of the games that day had already been called off. So, yeah, it was a delayed kickoff, which I don't think I've ever been involved in a delayed kickoff. So 3:15 was what we negotiated with the referee, and it just gave us time to settle down a little bit. But from there, mate, we were, that's our best performance for a long time. You know, I'd even go as far as to say our performance without the ball on Saturday was as good as I've had at Lancaster. You know, we were excellent. And sometimes, you know, I've always thought we were a bit of a backs-to-the-wall team, and we generally pull something out when things look a little bit like we're heading the wrong direction, or we're going through a little bit of turmoil, or there's adversity. And it was one of them, you know. And I know that their manager, when I spoke to him and in his press afterwards, had said it could have been 4 or 5 and should have been 4 or 5 at half time. And that's how, that, you know, a measure of how good we were.
And if there's any coaches listening or managers who've got all the badges and that kind of thing, this might be a controversial thing to say, but do you think pre-match warm-ups are overrated, Mark?
Oh, what a question. You've always got one, haven't you? We still did a pre-match warm-up. We did a light version, a miniature version. So, listen, there is a value to it. And what I do, I'm a big believer in routine for players. I think players like routine. I think they like to know what's happening. And they all have their, you know, what their intricacies of what they believe they should do before a game. So, yeah, we just did a shortened version, made it a little bit sharper. But I think we probably got everything we'd usually get into a match day warm up just in a shorter period of time. So I know that doesn't answer your question. I think in terms of physical preparation, you know, football probably does too much, and that's as a PE teacher, which I am, and I've got all my badges. But in that case, I think that you look at other sports, they probably don't have the rigour of a warm-up that a football team has. There probably is an argument, and there'll be some research saying that we should only do 10% of the 90 minutes, or a 9-minute warm-up would do. You try telling experienced pros and players that 9 minutes is enough for them to warm up for a football match.
Well, a big congratulations on that performance at the Turbo Ground last Saturday, Mark. But just a general question about where Lancaster are at the moment, because I think we spoke about a month ago, actually. Ahead of the FA Trophy match, you're in 10th, 8 points from the playoffs. And I think I ask you this every time you come on, because you're always there or thereabouts, just on the periphery. Yep. And I always ask you, is the playoffs a possibility? And, you know, if you're on the same number of points as Stafford Rangers, a point behind FC, you know, 2 points ahead of Morpeth and Baysford, you've got to be contenders, haven't you, for the playoffs?
Yeah, all them teams that you've said are in this. I mean, it's probably teed up to be a really great end of season, to be honest. We've done okay. We had a tough Christmas, but we always have a tough Christmas, if I'm honest. And we didn't get what we deserved at Christmas. I thought we were great at Bamber Bridge in the second half. We undoubtedly deserved a point there. The Coles game was a slugfest on New Year's Day, and to be fair, if they'd have said to everyone it's going to be 0-0 and don't even bother coming, I don't think anybody would have come, because it was a tough watch for everybody, and it was just, you know, two teams that New Year's Day fixture, tough pitch, battle as you get with Coles, and it was a stalemate effectively. But we feel like we've got the form to go on a little run. We feel like we've got, you know, the players and we're in a decent place to go on a little run. But that will be said by all those teams that you just mentioned. So, yeah, we've got Ashton and Grantham and Radcliffe, our next three. So you look at them on paper and you think, oh, we might have a decent chance of getting, you know, some good points there. But, you know, look at Ashton's squad. They're in a totally false position. Grantham are obviously spending at the moment. They've just signed a top-class striker, and they'll, you know, try and find their way out of trouble, and they'll fight for their lives. And Radcliffe have had a big resurgence under Bobby Grant. So paper means nothing. You know, every game, I found this season more than any, there's an unpredictability about every game. And yes, we are in it. There's no doubt about that. But we also acknowledge that we need to go on a bit of a run. And whoever can put maybe 4 or 5 wins together is undoubtedly in it. And I think you feel like you're in it then. I think if we were where Scarborough are, for example, even though we're only a couple of points behind that, I think we'd feel as a club that we're right on the brink of it. At the moment, we're on the periphery, as you say. And our job is first and foremost to go from the periphery to the edge, and then see where we are from there.
And obviously this weekend, I'd ordinarily talk to you about a match that's coming up, but you've fallen victim basically of the FA Trophy and Morpeth Town. So what are you going to be doing with your time?
Well, I'm in Guernsey at the moment because I'm a teacher by trade, educational manager now. So I'm doing some work in Guernsey between now and Easter, but obviously coming home for a session a weekend for the game. So I'm doing a lot of travelling at the moment for Lancaster. But yeah, the lads will get a weekend off because it's been a tough schedule. It's going to be a tough schedule moving forward. The train tonight, they'll get the weekend off, and then we're back in Tuesday, Thursday to prepare for Ashton. So I don't like having off weeks. I think football clubs work on momentum, and especially with us having a good win last weekend, I would much rather have played this weekend, but we don't stipulate the fixtures. And it was always going to be because we were due to play Morpeth this weekend, and we've then played them in the trophy. The winner of that was always going to play. So it's a bit of a this weekend. So it's a bit of a unique situation, which is probably very rare. But yeah, they'll obviously go off in the trophy and leave us without a game.
And final question then, Mark, and just about the coming weeks that are coming up. You've already touched upon the fixtures. Ashley United away next Saturday. I think you're through to the semi-finals of the County Cup as well, haven't you? You've got Southport in early March, haven't you, too? So it's a big, busy few weeks coming up. So how much are you looking forward to the challenge of 2022 and the possibilities?
Yeah, I mean, it feels to me like we're already on the running. It feels like we're, you know, whatever we've got, I don't know what it is, 15 or so games plus, I think there's 52 points to play for, and we obviously need to close that gap to the playoffs, which is at 8 points at the moment. We've got a County Cup final, a semi-final against Southport, which is probably going to be a massive game, you know, played at the county ground. And obviously we hold that competition, so that trophy. So we want to try and protect our cup if we possibly can do. So there's lots and lots to play for. Undoubtedly, the next three or four games are critical for us if we want to want to get ourselves into a sustainable challenge for the playoffs. We're probably still batting above where we should be, but you know, it's been a tough old season, but I know everyone you speak to will say the same because it has been tough. I spoke to Claggy last night, actually, and sort of we were both of the opinion that we probably won't miss football when we have a break this year because it's been tough and intense. And, you know, I love the game. I love the everything that comes with it, but I've never known a season like this. And I think everybody, and again, he put a thing on LinkedIn last night about people forget that we have jobs and people forget that we... you know, we've other things to consider and families and all the rest of it. When it's feeling, I think being a Northern Premier League manager is feeling more full-time than it ever has done before. And for those of us that aren't full-time and are very much part-time, you know, I think when we get to the end of this season, we'll all need a break. But until then, we will absolutely do everything we can to get ourselves the best outcome that we can for this season.
Well, Mark Fell, manager of Lancaster City, always a pleasure. Big, big thank you for taking the time out of your busy day to come on the show. Really, really appreciate it. And have a good weekend off.
Yeah, cheers, Ben.
Mark Fell there, manager of Lancaster City, joining us on the Pitching In MPL show. And James, just to cover off some more results from last weekend, big results for Stalybridge Celtic on Tuesday night, James. A 1-0 victory over Atherton Coles. And we'll come to some other results which affect the bottom half of the table. But we mentioned how Stalybridge and Hyde really just need to get a couple more wins just to get themselves away from it. And that's an important 3 points, that one, for Stalybridge Celtic at Bower Fold midweek, James.
Yeah, I mean, one thing he said last week is they need to look at the attacking force and what they need to bring in. Brought in Raul Pereira from Barrow. Again, people around Northern Premier League will know him straight away as well, a former Radcliffe. But he came in and does the job. He's an out-and-out striker, so someone who's there to replace Marcus Dacre from early in the season. They've got that quality there. And they just took Masaka from South Shields, so... Clearly, they're making some movements there and you've seen the situation. And again, great 3 points to pick up there because, again, Atherton are not exactly the easiest team at this moment in time to play. But again, when we come down to the bottom six at the moment, it's just more a case of can he stay ahead of them? That's the big question for that little mid-table bunch at the moment.
We should go to the bottom six now. I mean, how important is this result here? Nantwich Town 2, Gainsborough Trinity 1. That sees Nantwich Town out of the relegation places and beating a team who were just slightly ahead of them in the league table. The gap now between Gainsborough and Nantwich Town is just 4 points, with Nantwich having two games in hand, James.
It's worth noting as well, I've got a little minute league table in front of me with how the bottom six have been playing. Nantwich have got most of their points against them sides down the bottom end of the table. So that could work to their advantage if they can keep picking up the points as they are. As I think Roy Sewell said it once as well, as long as you beat the teams around you, that's the main thing.
So a big week just gone for Nantwich. Also, when you throw into the mix, Grantham Town, on Saturday, they were beaten by Radcliffe at the Southcote Stephen Stadium by 2-1. Good 3 points there for Radcliffe in Lincolnshire on Saturday. There is one other team I've not mentioned yet, and that's Morpeth Town, and that's because I'm about to segue into the FA Trophy. On Saturday, Morpeth Town 2, Stafford Rangers 2. Morpeth Town, they're getting an equaliser through Andrew Johnson with a couple of minutes left to play there. Whilst on Tuesday night, it was Ashton United 1, Morpeth Town 2. All the goals there coming in a four-minute spell at Hurst Cross around the hour mark. So that must have been a bit frantic. But Morpeth Town, James, that's 4 points out of a possible six. It's not been a bad return. And that sees them 10 points from the playoffs and maintaining that unbeaten run.
Yeah, now 9 unbeaten in the league for him now since their last defeat at South Shields back in October. A few other cup runs into that as well. You're looking at about 13, 14 unbeaten streak there, realistically. So again, obviously, they've got a massive task this coming Saturday with Boston United. But going up to Ashley United on a foggy, cold Tuesday night, again, not the easiest task to do there either.
Well, big game this weekend for Morpeth Town in the fourth round of the FA Trophy. Let's hear the mood in the camp at Morpeth. It's a big welcome back to the show now to Craig Lynch. Well, Craig, a big thank you for joining us. And before we get to this weekend's big game in the FA Trophy, let's take your mind back to just before Christmas and the third round. Bit of an epic encounter against Lancaster City. I mean, how was your afternoon?
Yeah, it was another game against Lancaster. Every game's there's always stuff in the game that happens, and it was a equally intested contest, which again was another great win for ourselves. We came out on top, and another penalty shootout, which we've done very well at so far. So it's took us through to a good game against Boston.
Since that game as well, and before that game as well, we should say, the great run of form continues. There's been some gutsy draws in there, but some gutsy wins as well. So you must be, as a dressing room, in a good frame of mind heading into Boston.
Yeah, without a doubt. I mean, the 27th, we went down to Scarborough Way, which, again, is another fiery contest. You've got a good set of supporters which on their side, and we kept quiet for 94 and a half minutes, and it was looking like an absolutely brilliant away day until a great finish made it a draw, and then we came home against another good side in Whitby and beat them on New Year's Day, which is a fantastic result. And then again, every team we play is a difficult game. We had Stafford at home who were very well organised. I was a bit disappointed with the manner in which we conceded the two goals, but another goal in the 89th minute to rescue a draw. And then Tuesday night, again, I mentioned it prior, our way on a Tuesday night over the two divisions we've been in the last 4 years hasn't been great with no wins, but it just shows what frame of mind we're in at the minute, and a great away win against Ashton 2-1 on Tuesday night keeps a good run of form going into which will be a massive game in the club's history on Saturday against Boston.
Yeah, I caught a snippet of your post-match interview at Hurst Cross from Tuesday night, and if we throw in the Stafford result from Saturday, that equaliser you got with a few minutes left against Stafford, I mean, that's as good as a victory at that point, isn't it? And Tuesday, you know, going to Hurst Cross in the middle of January on a midweek game, I mean, where do you think Morpeth are at the moment? Because you're looming there in the background, aren't you, when it comes to the league position. But if you continue this run, you're going to be really concerning a few people above you, that's for sure.
Yeah, it is. I mean, I can't be any more proud of what I am of the lads at the minute since I took over 24 games in all competitions, and we're still sitting with only 2 defeats. But again, for me, I've seen teams, and I said when I first took over to the lads, Beresford at the time, I think won 6 in a row. And every dressing room's different, but for me, I just tick them off, and it's a new week. It's a new game coming up on Saturday, and you kind of get carried away, especially in our league, but again, in the FA Trophy against a very good Boston team, and think just because we're on a good run of form, that's going to give us the impetus to beat Boston. We've got to just say, yes, we've done well previously, but it's another game, and we've got to be right at it on Saturday. So I'm looking forward, the lads are looking forward to the game against Boston, and I've said again in previous interviews that we're a club that wants to be going in the Conference North, and we played York City and we went toe-to-toe with them for nearly two full games. So it gives us a bit of a starting point for Boston, who are coming here as, I think, the highest team we've played with the crowd. So the crowd's going to be massive for us. So I'm hoping that with it being a big FA Trophy game, just like the last round, we can get 1,000+ people there, and it gives the lads a massive boost.
Yeah, because like you say, Morpeth have been on a journey in the last few years, and you know, we could talk about, you know, the FA Vars win a few years ago, and those big occasions. I mean, like you say, this potentially is the biggest game you ever had in front of a crowd, because it's only, was it Notts County? Forgive my ignorance, I can't remember.
Yes, it was.
Yeah, it was Notts County, wasn't it?
Notts County behind closed doors.
You touched upon it there, but how important is this for what's being achieved and trying to be achieved at Morpeth for occasions like this, where you're going to be playing a former Football League side, essentially?
Yeah, it's massive, and in the crowd do play a big part. A lot of the crowd, we come for a good day out at Morpeth. It's a lovely ground. Like, it's probably one of the nicest grounds in the country, to be honest. It's not a typical football ground, but the chairman's built it for a good ambience and a good day out. But again, you know, football never changes. If you get 1,000 fans and you get a bit of noise, you know how much that drives the lads on. And we've seen that against the likes of Lancaster and even York City when we went down 3-1. But we had enough chances early on against them to put them on a little bit more pressure. So the crowd plays a massive part. And as I said previously about Scarborough get a noisy 500,000 fans there. And it drives them on. So the crowd's massive for us. And whether we have 1,000 or whatnot, we'll be doing our best to get through to the last 16 of the FA Trophy.
Yes, it was 1,600, wasn't it? Or there or thereabouts for the York match. So anywhere like that would be absolutely amazing, wouldn't it? And final question, Craig. You've already touched upon it, but just a final message, really, to that home faithful for this game on Saturday. What's your thoughts on it?
Oh, yeah, I kind of wait to see where we're at. First and foremost, we're on a great run of form, and being at home is a massive advantage for us. I don't know how many games Boston's played on an artificial pitch as such this season, and it gives us a little bit of an extra chance against them. At the minute, I might be unsure, but I don't think we've appointed anyone yet as manager. So we're in a bit of a transitional period. So probably, unless we appoint someone tonight and we get a training session with the lads before we come to us on Saturday, it's a good time to play them. And I think it's massive for fans. If we get a good crowd, if we can hit 1,000, 1,500 there, and we'll as I've already mentioned, we'll give everything to get to the next round. If it's a draw and it goes to penalties, then so be it. We've been there 3 times already, so I mean, I think we might be running out of luck on that aspect, but the way the confidence is, we'll give everything to get through to the last 16.
Well, Craig Lynch, manager of Morpeth Town, should say, I would have asked you about, you know, how do you think Boston are going to do, but for that reason about, you know, Craig Elliott leaving and that kind of thing, I've done this show long enough to know that they'll probably hire a manager just as I click upload on this show on Friday, and therefore it's out of date, so thought better to stay clear of that one. A big happy new year to you, Craig. A big good luck this weekend, and we'll catch up in the next round, my friend.
Thank you very much. Anytime, Ben. Thank you.
Craig Lynch, manager of Morpeth Town, and a big, big good luck to Morpeth Town this weekend in the fourth round of the FA Trophy against Boston United on Saturday. Well, James Hayes is still with us. We're coming up to the final bit now where we do the fixture preview of Andrew Snaith. But James, big weekend to come for Morpeth Town, but across the league as well. Social media channels for this weekend. Big disclaimer, once again, we are recording this show on Wednesday, so do check outside your window on Saturday morning, and please do check Twitter as well. But James, social media channels, if you will.
Yeah, so for Twitter, it's at Northern Premier League, or we'll be live updates from Morpeth, because I'm making the trip up there to support them as well, so everything that happens there on the day will be up there. But otherwise, Facebook, Official Northern Prem, Instagram, Official Northern Premier League, and TikTok, Official Northern Prem 2. And don't forget, we've got a YouTube channel too.
Well, James Hayes, a big thank you for joining us. Safe journey up to Northumberland this weekend. Hope you bring some good luck to Morpeth Town, and have a lovely weekend. Take care.
Thanks to you, Ben. Thank you.
And a big thank you to James Hayes for joining us this week. But it's now time to gaze in awe at the future and gazing with me at the future. It's a big welcome back to the show to Coastal County radio presenter. It's Mr. Andrew Snaith. Hello, Andrew. How are you?
Hiya, Ben. Yeah, doing really well early in 2022.
Yes, happy new year to you, Andrew. And just before we get to league matches this weekend, we've heard from Craig Lynch. Just a quick thought on Morpeth against Boston United. It's at home, so anything's possible.
Absolutely. Well, I think it's, 13 games unbeaten now. So they're certainly doing something right there up at Morpeth. Every chance, just one division between the sides. I think Morpeth will have every opportunity to spring, what most people will consider an upset, but perhaps us NPL observers wouldn't be too surprised about at all.
No, I go back to when FC United took on Mask, and I think Liversidge took on Scarborough. They took on someone else as well, forgive me. I think it might be Basford. But it was no surprise that on that weekend that the Step 4 sides beat the Step 3 sides, and you wouldn't put it past Morpeth, as you said, for a Step 3 side to beat a Step 2 side. Big good luck to everyone at Morpeth Town this weekend. But Andrew, got you on to talk about the league matches as well. I'm going to start off this week with this big game at Silverlands, Buxton taking on Warrington Town. 2 points separating the two teams. Warrington obviously didn't play this past week, but Buxton, they played on Tuesday. What a result for Scarborough. This is a must-win game, isn't it, for both sides, really? It's a six-pointer, if I can use that cliche.
Yeah, well, I think for Buxton, it's one where I think they might just take a point just to try and get back on an even keel. But they've been on a bit of a bad run, to be fair. I mean, they've had the perfect season, and then suddenly they've hit a bit of choppy water and a little bit of a blip at the moment. Of course, if you're missing somebody like Diego Di Girolamo up front, it's going to have an effect. Conversely, Scarborough, as you mentioned, they're on a terrific run at the moment. They just seem full of confidence, and they're steamrolling everybody they come across.
Yeah, including Warrington, actually. That was Warrington's last defeat, wasn't it, against Scarborough? Mm-hmm. Buxton feels like a bit of an FA Cup hangover, if I can throw another cliche out there. But it's true. Mm-hmm. Once you've got the fanfare and the cameras, they've left you. You're back to the bread and butter stuff. It can have an effect. Very big game this weekend between those two teams, Buxton taking on Warrington. The league leaders, Matlock Town, they're 4 points ahead of Buxton at the moment. They're travelling to Witton Albion this weekend. And Witton Albion last week, they had such a good result against Gainsborough Trinity, didn't they? That 1-1 draw. What's your thoughts on this one? This is a tough game, this one, for Matlock, but they've hit a bit of a good run of form. 3 straight wins for them recently in the league.
Yeah, they just seem to have got over the temporary blip that they had. And I dare say a 4-point lead over Buxton is just a sentence that Matlock fans just want to hear you repeat over and over again. But Witton Albion, that's going to be quite a tricky game for them. Despite Witton's position in the table, or perhaps because of Witton's position in the table, they've got games in hand, but they've got to start winning them. They are one of a clutch of sides. At the foot of the table there's a little bit of a gap between Grantham at bottom and then Witton second bottom. There's a 6-point gap there, and then there's so many sides. There's 6 teams separated by 4 points. Witton need to start making these games in hand count. Yeah, that should be a really, really good tie.
Now, Matlock leading the way. Bamber Bridge are in second, and a few people would have thought, I think a couple of weeks ago, that Bamber Bridge might be slipping back, but here they are, bouncing straight back, 2 points off top spot. This weekend, a huge game. They're taking on FC United. Neil Reynolds returned to the Tom Finney Stadium. Bamber Bridge could go top. FC United could put themselves not too far behind Scarborough and Whitby, potentially.
Absolutely, yeah. It's a big game for both teams. Yeah, Bamber Bridge, you know, a lot of people will be looking at the likes of Robert Apter going back to his parent club and thinking, where are the wins going to come from? Well, they're certainly not short of goals. And they've retained the likes of Nathan Pond with all his experience in non-league as well as football league as well, remember. So they have still got some experienced campaigners who've done it at this level. And that might just be key for them. I mean, just one eye on the fact they have lost 8 games in the league. that's more than anyone else in the top five. But they seem to just be an all or nothing team. They'll win or lose, but they've clearly got a great spirit about them. They're not falling away. It doesn't look like that's going to happen. It's going to be a really, really good game, actually, between these two sides. I'd struggle to call it.
South Shields, hopefully back in action this weekend. Obviously, we heard from Graham Fenton last week, hosting Radcliffe this weekend. South Shields, 5 points from top spot. They do have a game in hand. They're not too far behind Bamber Bridge and Buxton. It's about getting some form going now, isn't it? And making the games count.
Yeah, absolutely right. It's about getting back to winning ways, getting back to a consistent run of form. As I think everybody has probably said this on a almost a weekly basis on this show. The quality is obviously there. They're a professional club in every sense. It'll be a tough game for Radcliffe, but yeah, that is the challenge for Graham Fenton to get a consistent run of form for his side.
That completes the top five who are in action. We'll come to Whitby Town early doors, Andrew, because they need to bounce back, don't they, after the Lancaster match. 3 points outside the playoffs. Warrington taking on Buxton this weekend. So there's a chance maybe that Whitby can get back on even points. Whitby taking on Atherton Colls. It is at home. What's your thoughts on this game?
Well, I dare say a few Whitby fans would have been looking and licking their lips at their home game against Lancaster last week, and they most certainly came unstuck. Lancaster, they couldn't have had any worse preparation. They were stuck on the A66. There was an accident, so the game was put back. It's a long enough trip to Whitby. I'm sure the Northwest side would agree. And then they absolutely play Whitby off the park. And Lancaster, very, very good value, and probably should have had a few more in a 3-0 win. So what to expect from Atherton? I think it's going to be a very, very tough ask for Whitby, who've had a few injury issues. They made a lot of changes. They had the 40-year-old player manager up front against York in midweek. So we will see which Whitby Town side show up. But if they put in the kind of performance they did against Lancaster City, I think Atherton will be very, very happy and probably coming back across the Pennines with all 3 points.
And at the moment, we didn't really cover it with James, but this Morpeth, 33 points, Basford, 33 points, Atherton Colls, 33 points, Radcliffe, 32 points, all there in mid-table land, all bunched together. But let's talk about Scarborough Athletic, because they were part of that mid-table bunch not too long ago. But it's clicked, hasn't it, with John O'Greening and the squad there at the Flamingo Land Stadium. 3 points from the playoffs now, which is brilliant stuff from the North Yorkshire side. They're travelling to Stalybridge Celtic this weekend. Stalybridge with an important win, because I think you touched upon it earlier when you talked about Witton Albion. It's just a bit nervy, isn't it, for the likes of Hyde United and Stalybridge Celtic for a few weeks now. It was an important win because it's just psychological, isn't it? Stalybridge Celtic getting themselves to 30 points now. Tough game for Scarborough, but they're in great form.
Absolutely right, yeah. You're absolutely spot on there. They're flying under John O'Greening. The confidence is coursing through that club, I have to say. They are the Scarborough juggernaut at the moment and one of the form sides in the league. Stalybridge, though, good side at home. Just 4 defeats there at Bower Fold. They will be a strong opposition, I think. They've got a couple of games in hand, and they'll just be looking to put even more daylight between themselves and that bottom two. And that pack that are massing just below the playoffs, you know, there's always somebody who comes in there late on. I've seen Stalybridge this season and I was impressed by them. You never know.
Do you have games in hand, don't they, over they've got three games in hand over Basford. 2 points behind Radcliffe, and it wasn't too long ago Stalybridge were pretty much where FC United and Stafford were. So let's stay in the bottom half of the table, because there's some intriguing games this weekend. I mentioned how close for comfort it is for the likes of Stalybridge and Hyde United. Hyde United looking to bounce back this weekend after a defeat last week. Taking on Stafford Rangers, though, at Marston Road. Be an interesting one, this one, wouldn't it? Because I think Stafford would really like to be where Scarborough are at the moment. But what do you think?
Yeah, and I would argue that they're good enough to be as well. Stafford are a very, very tough side. Big physical units there going forward. I think, though, what they'll just be disappointed by is that home form. at Marston Road, because on the travels, they're about the best, apart from South Shields, they're the best wayside out there. They're 6 wins, 4 draws, 2 defeats on the travels. It's as good as anybody around. But just indifferent at home, you know, 5 defeats in 12 games. It's average at home, and that's what they got to get right. And I'm surprised as well, because they've always got really, really good support in their home games. I'm sure they'll be scratching their heads as to what it's down to. But yes, they have a chance to maybe start to do something about that at the weekend against the Hyde side, as you correctly said, are still just looking over their shoulders at the moment.
And that's true of Gainsborough Trinity as well. Gainsborough taking on Basford United. Basford last week had a bit of a move around, with Steve Chettle moving to the boardroom as director of football. It's at North Home, and this is where Gainsborough come into their own, really, isn't it, at home?
Absolutely, yeah. The North Home, just 1 defeat at home all season in the league, although they have drawn quite a lot, and we won't talk about their away form. But yeah, their home advantage this week. I don't know what to make of Basford, you know, this season, Ben. I've been puzzled by them. And I did mention, obviously, I'm going great lengths to say that Scarborough have been in tremendous form of late, which they have. But I wasn't expecting them to win 3-0 and you know, quite a comfortable, deserved 3-0. They're probably, by their own high standards, have a very, very average season, really. I think most people expected a little bit more from them.
Well, they're in 12th at the moment, and Basford travelling to Gainsborough Trinity this weekend. And finally, and I started off talking about Buxton against Warrington being game of the day. I'm going to suggest this is up there. Nantwich Town against Micklover. Nantwich with an important win last weekend. Micklover, obviously, their game with South Shields was postponed, wasn't it? But they had a fantastic result over Hyde United in their last outing. A win would be handy for either side. It would be transformative for Nantwich if they managed to get a win, given where they've been. And it would have happened in the space of a fortnight, really.
Yeah, indeed. And again, we talked about Grantham's home form against Ashton's away form. Well, we've got Nantwich's home form, just 2 wins, against Micklover's away form, just 2 wins. this, again, is maybe going to be an attritional one. I would venture that this is possibly a more of a must-win for Micklover, given the 3 games in hand that Nantwich have over them. It is extremely tight there, and also the very worrying goal difference that Micklover have in -18. I think they're going to be thinking we've got to be winning this game, but I don't think that's going to make for a tremendous game of football. I think it's going to make way for a big battle, which could go either way.
Well, that's all the matches for Saturday. There are 2 matches on Tuesday. Ashton United taking on South Shields, an important game for both teams. This is one of their games in hand for Ashton United and South Shields. Matlock Town taking on Scarborough on Tuesday as well, which is a tremendous midweek fixture in the Northern Premier League, Premier Division, that's for sure. Yeah, great Tuesday night there. But Andrew Snaith for Coastal County Radio, just before you go, just a quick plug for Whitby Town against Atherton Coles. Live commentary coming your way on Saturday afternoon.
Absolutely, yes. Paul Connolly and Liam Ryder will be there for that one at the Toba Express Stadium. And you'll be able to hear that online via Whitby Town's YouTube channel and also the new Twitter Spaces app as well. They'll be there from kickoff for that one. You can catch Coast and County if you're on the Yorkshire coast on 105.5 in the Whitby area, 97.4 in Scarborough.
Brilliant stuff. Well, Andrew Snaith, we should say, just before we go, it was a disclaimer I just littered through the show last week. Nothing's changed. We are pre-recording the show on Wednesday this week. Check outside your window on Saturday morning, and please do check social media as well as the mpl.co.uk before setting off to your game. But Andrew Snaith from Coastal County Radio, you have a lovely weekend, and big thank you for joining us, and catch up very soon, my friend.
Thanks, Ben. A pleasure as always.
And a big thank you to Andrew Snaith for joining us this week. But that's it for this week's edition of the Pitching In NPL show. Remember, for all the latest goings-on from the world of the Northern Premier League, you can visit the website www.thenpl.co.uk. But I've been Ben, and you all make sure you all have a lovely and safe weekend. Bye-bye.